beyond the ken of Bashir, the Israeli government set Kof Zayin B'Nisan as the day of remembrance of the Shoah, except when it comes out on Sunday, to prevent any Chilul Shabbos. And so it's moved to Kof Chet, which is tomorrow. For us, it's a bit of a problem in terms of any tefillot, because we're still in Chodesh Nisan, but there's an inyan of not being Porish Min HaTzibur, and it's always kedai to remember the nefashot and the neshamot of kedoshim, of individuals who were murdered because they were Jews. And so, in terms of our learning, we'll be makdish today shir li'ili nishmas, those individuals for whom the opportunity to learn was taken away from them by an Am Russia and by individuals who have no tzel melokim. And we should, again, always remember it. And the only formality, I guess, in which we will participate is lighting Neirot Zikaron, which one can do even during Chodesh Nisan, without any issues. But in general, that a person should try and have a Hakaras HaTov to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to sit and to be Ovid Hashem, Shifti Bebeis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayenu, and to have a Zikaron, and that our learning Yemir Hashem should serve as connection of those who were neheragim to the world of Klal Yisrael, and they should also have an aliyah. So, whoever is bimkom gabai this evening before Mariv, just have the six candles in the hallway. They should be lit, and they should be there for the 24 hours that has been set aside.
Six
candles. There was one candle, that's why one, but so I figured six is the number that would distinguish between this day and next week, which is Yom HaZikaron. Then we light one for all of those who were murdered. Next Sunday, I won't be here in the country in the morning. I'll only be landing in the afternoon. So if we could have shir, this Wednesday we'll have shir as usual. If it's possible to have shir next week on Monday morning, is that an option? Rabbi Rekefa will be in Chutz Laretz. So it could either be at 9:15 or at 11 or a quarter to 12, whichever you would rather. So we'll decide on Wednesday. But if it's possible, chad pa'ami, to move shir next week to Monday, that way we'd be able to continue to have two shirim the following week, okay?
Monday is
Yom HaZikaron Nidche. Okay? So we can... Okay. We'll learn, okay, so that way we could still have two shurim. So again, whichever you'd rather, next Monday, either 9:15 or 11:45. So okay, we left off before Pesach on Daf Yud Aleph, where we had seen the reisha of the Mishnah Lo Yetzei Hachayet B'Machtel Samach L'Chashech Hashem Ayishkach V'Yetzei, and discussed the world of Shichacha. Tosas raises the issue of Gzera L'Gzera. That L'Chora we have a din of Misasek. One is not aware that one is carrying the machat. And so Tosus moved it over to a shichacha of Shabbos and different permutations. Tosus and the Meiri, so that the Rambam learned as a shichacha of the machat, the Tzuli Din of Misasik. And then we spoke about the various options of how to view Misasik on Shabbos. Are we dealing over here with the realm of Heter? It's not a Malachas Machshavas at all. Are we dealing with a realm where it's Asur Drabanan? That's what Tosus seems to assume. That Tosa speaks about a gzera l'gzera. It means that there's a basic gzera of misasek. And then we have the Rambam, who appears not to be bothered by the problem of gzera l'gzera. We pointed out that Yitachen, that according to the Rambam, even though there's no din of misasek, b'chol ha-Torah kula, it could be that within Shabbos, it's a p'tur of korban, as opposed, in other words, it's a din da'araisa with a p'tur of korban. And that would explain the various lashonos of the Rambam within the world of Misasek. Ech shelo yihyeh, what I forgot to mention was that tshuva Rabbi Akiva Eger, the psakim Siman Ches, that deals with the world of Misasek and raises these issues. One of the nafkaminas that he raises, not only a question of kamei midravine, but also if someone else is to do an act that we know would be misasek. We gave the example of someone's walking on the sidewalk on the wrong side of the street. And we know that when he gets to the next house, all the lights are going to go on because of his walking. Should we be mafreshim me avera? Is there an inyan that tell them, cross the street, don't continue walking. Someone is about to open a refrigerator, and we know that there's a light in that refrigerator. Now, for him, it's misasek. He's totally unaware that there's a light in the refrigerator. Is there an inyan for us to be mafreshim? Is there an avera? Namely, if misasek is mutter, so l'chorah there's no inyan other than simply hagdol Torah l'hadira, that a person shouldn't do an act which is mutter. But if we're dealing with an iser drabanan, which is the din according to Tosfos, or an iser d'oraisa, which is the way we understood the Rambam, then clearly there would be an inyan to be mafresh this individual from this act, even if he's unaware that he's doing the act. Why should there be an iser d'oraisa and iser drabanan? So he pointed out that this may be part of the world of Shmira Shabbos, to be more aware of possibilities, to be more careful in terms of one's actions. One should be aware that in America, a lot of things simply work on electric eyes. One should be aware that that not everyone deals with the when a person gives an apartment to a guest, doesn't always think of taking the bulb out of the refrigerator. So one should be aware of these things before Shabbos, and the lack of being involved in them, that itself may be an Iser d'oraisa or an Iser d'rabanan. Okay. We have over here a sugya of two lines, where the sugya is basically found in the Rishonim. Tanan Hasan, the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Lo ya'amod adam birishus hayachid v'yishteh birishus harabim or birishus harabim v'yishteh birishus hayachid. This is a Mishnah in Eruvin, and the Mishnah continues, avolim hichnis rosho v'rubo l'makom shehu shose mutar. Rashi over here gives us the background. Lo yamod adam v'yoshit piv v'rosho l'rishus harabim le'echos kli v'lishtot gezeira shema yotzi hakli elav nimsa mischayev chatos. That just as we have in the Mishnah a gezeira shema yishkach v'yetze, so also we have over there in the Mishnah in Erevin a gezeira shema yishkach v'yetze, that this person who is leaning into the other rishus and drinking with a cup, we're afraid that when he finishes drinking, he's simply going to walk out with the cup. He's going to, and that would be an iser mida oraisa. So where it goes there, that a person shouldn't do it, unless hichnis rosho verubo lamakom shehu shosa, that then under that situation, under those circumstances, we wouldn't be gozer if the person is so aware that he is on the borderline and therefore wants to move his entire rosh of rubo into the other rishus. In that situation, we're not gozer, but otherwise we're gozer shema yishkach. That's all that we have over here in Rashi. Just the background that we're dealing with the gzera within the Mishnah. The lo yamod is a drabana. Tosus over here gives us a broader background. Lo yamod adam rishus ram v'yishteh rishus hayachi b'motzei tefillin. Namely, an Erev and Daf Tzadi test, Mukila b'chafatzim hatzrichim lo v'divrei hakol. Namely, that the Mishnah in Erev and Daf Tzadi test of Merala follows a previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah brought the Shita of Rabbanon, that a person is allowed to sit on the border between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, and he's sitting in Rishus HaYachid, and he has little toy soldiers in Rishus HaRabim, and he's allowed to move them back and forth as long as he doesn't move them arba amos. And we're not goes there that when his mother calls him, he's going to pick up a toy soldier and carry it into the house. Namely, we're not goes there that he's going to bring it into his own Rishus. And the Gemara over there says that even though that's a shita of Rabbanan, that you could sit in one Rishus and play with objects in another rishus, where not goes there, Rav Meir in that same situation says, you're not allowed to play with those toy soldiers, because where goes there, we're afraid, you're going to bring them into your own rishus. So the Gemara asks, what's going on over here? Here we have a Mishnah, lo ya'amod adam b'rishus hayachad v'yishta l'rishus harabim, we're afraid he's going to move the cup. So l'chorah, this is Rav Meir, that we're afraid that if you're in one rishus, and you pick up an object in another rishus, you're going to pull it towards you. So why over here does the previous Mishnah paskin like Rabbanan, and this Mishnah appears to be paskining like Rav Meir? So Tosis explains, this is Gemara's answer, Muki lo b'chafatzim hatzrichim lo v'divrei hakol. Perish afilu Rabbanan da'amri omed oda b'shus ramu metaltel b'shus hayachid, or vice versa, hacha modu, dekevon d'tzorach lishtot, iko v'mechash shema yivieim etzlo. That we're more concerned with the cup than we are with the toy soldiers. Toy soldiers are not chafatzim hatzrichim lo. A cup is considered to be chafatzim hatzrichim lo. Compare Tosfos' formulation to the Rambam's formulation. I'll just read with you the Rambam. Rambam is in Perek Tesvav of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Beis. The Rambam brings down this our Mishnah, and he says as follows. Lo yamod adam birishus hayachid v'yishte birishus harabim, or birishus haram v'yishte birishus hayachid, ela imken hichnis rosho v'ruba l'makam shehu shose. V'medra mamurim kishohaya shose b'kelim na'im shehu tzarech lehen, gezeira shema yotzi'en. Avolim hayu kelim she'enon na'im, ein tzarech she'enon tzarech lehen, Shahaya Habor Bekarmelis, that will deal with Linedr next time. Then, Machnis Rosho Bilvad Veshosu B'Mekomo, Afal Pi Shelo Hichnis Rosho V'Rubo. What's the difference between the formulation of the Rambam of Chafotzim Hatzrichim Lo and the formulation of Tosfos of Chafotzim Hatzrichim Lo? Again, the Gemara sets up this Mishnah of Lo Yamod Onam B'Shus Hayachav Yishtel B'Shus Harabim, namely that we have a Gzeira. This Gzeira is not only according to Rav Meir, who goes there on toy soldiers, it's even according to Rabbanan, who aren't goes there on toy soldiers. Even though we're not goes there on toy soldiers, but we're goes there in a case of drinking. Why? Because the case of drinking, we're dealing with the world of Chafatzim Hatzrichim Lo. How does Tosfos explain the world of Chafatzim Hatzrichim Lo? Hacha modu, kevon de tzorach lishtos, ikol amecha shema yevi'em etzlo, as opposed to the Rambam, chafotzim hatzrichim lo, b'medra amurim shayashose bekelim na'im, shu tzorach lehem, gzera shema yotziyam. What's over here, the stress of the Rambam and the stress of Tosfos? Yes?
Tosfos is about the drinking, that we're nervous that because you're drinking, you're going to pull it back.
Right? Pull what back?
The drink.
The drink, in other words, in what container?
In the cup.
Any container. According to Tosfos, we're not concerned about the nature of the container. The tzrichim lo is the drinking. So whatever you're drinking from, whether you're drinking from a disposable cup or you're drinking from a silver kiddush cup, that's irrelevant. The point is that you're drinking. The moment you're drinking, we're afraid you're going to pull the cup after you. You're going to want to continue drinking in your rishus. That's the chafotzim hatzrichim lo. There even Rabbanan agree that we're going to make a gzeira. Mashenkin, according to the Rambam, what is chafotzim hatzrichim lo?
Valuable.
Tzrichim lo, noyim lo. It's something that a person wouldn't leave in the other rishus. He's not going simply to say, oh, it's Shabbos, I can't carry. In other words, this is something he's going to have a yetzahara to pull towards him. But if it's simply a disposable cup, then according to the Rambam, that would be a machlokas, Rav Meir and Rabbanan. And we pass them like Rabbanan, that we're not gozer. Okay, so according to the Rambam, tzrichim lo is something very, very subjective in terms of the kli. According to Tosfos, the context of shtia, of shesia, of drinking, that's a tzarech lo, no matter what the kli is. Okay, that's just a technical issue. What is the ukimta of this Mishnah? But then Tosfos moves over to the core question that bothered all Rishonim. To stand in Rishus A, stick your head into Rishus B, and to drink, Mida Oraisa, what is your status? What appears from the Mishnah in Eruvin, Lo Yamod Adam Birishus Hayachad V'yishte Birishus Harabim, Mida Oraisa, what is the Halacha? Mida Oraisa, it's Mutter. It's only a Gezerah, Shema, Ya'avir HaKli. In other words, the act itself is Mutter. What Tosfos says is, why in the world is the act mutter? The water, let's assume you're standing in Rishus Hayachid, and the water is in Rishus Harabim. That's what the water fountain is, in Rishus Harabim, and you're Rishus Hayachid. So you're being oker water in Rishus HaRabim, and where is it ending up? In your stomach, which is in Rishus HaYachid. Why isn't that a din of Hotzah, Midoraisa? Why does the Gemara only deal with the issue of a drabanan, and we can solve that drabanan with a Rosh over Rubo, with a Heker, right? Aren't we dealing over here with an Iser Da'oraisa of the world of Hotzah? That's also Siskvim Tomer, Hashda Nami, Ki Yachnis Rosh over Rubo, Amai Shari, Hamapik, Mi Rishus HaYachid, Lirishus HaRabim, Shelokeach, Mi Rishus HaYachid, V'nochis Bebitno, Mi Rishus HaRabim. And we have L'chora precedent for such a concept that when I am moving something from outside my body to the inside of my body, that's Hotzah. From the opposite case, from the converse. The Hochi Amar Hosam, Hishtin Mayim, and namely something, I have a liquid inside of me, and I am exuding it outside. Or Ruk, I have saliva in my mouth, and I spit out. Chayav Chatas. If I am in Rishus A, and the stream, or the saliva, hits Rishus B, that's considered to be an Akira in Rishus A and Hanocha in Rishus B. So my nafgamina, whether something is going from my body inside out or something is going into my body from outside in. L'chora, this is an Akira and a Hanocha. So on this question, we have two basic approaches. One approach, we'll call the approach of Tosfos, which is the only answer that Tosfos gives by us. And the other approach is an approach which is called Rashi, which I'm not sure that Rashi really meant it, but clearly there are Rishonim who say that that's what Rashi meant, and there are Rishonim who say that on their own. But we'll call these two approaches Tosas's approach and Rashi's approach. Tosas's approach is in three words. V'yesh lomar, that's before the three words. The B'liyoso Hainu Hanachoso. What is Tosus's approach over here? Why is there no issue of hachnasa or hotza'a when I'm in one rishus and I'm drinking liquid which began in another rishus? Because my head is in that other rishus, right? And so let's assume, again, I'm standing in rishus hayachid. The water is in rishus harabim. I put the cup to my lips in Rishus HaRabim, I'm being oker the water in Rishus HaRabim, and where am I being meniachit? In Rishus HaRabim. Where is the makom ha'anacha within the anatomy of my body? What?
Throat,
not mouth. No, not, or it's belia. When I swallow it, when it hits my throat, right? My throat, in other words, this is still hirakin rosho, right? And when it hits my throat, and my throat is leaning over into the rishus, into that second rishus, so the akira and the hanacha are in the same rishus. Alright, that's Tosis' answer, that b'liyoso zohi hanachoso. I is going to continue moving down into my intestines. Ve'in lochush v'mashashuv nichnasim l'toch me'av. Why not? Why don't we, normally a hanacha is where something ends up, not where something is in the middle. In other words, when I swallow it, it's still moving. Why call that a hanacha? In other words, I swallowed it, and then it continues. It continues down my throat into my esophagus, into my stomach, into my large intestine, my small intestine. All of that is going on, right? And then it stops at some point, right? It starts at some point in my body, which is below Rosh over, even below Rosh over Rubo. What good will it do Rosh over Rubo? Rubo will get to my stomach. It continues below my stomach into my ayin, which is below Rosh over Rubo. So why call B'liyasa Zoyanachasa? So there are two ways, L'chor, of answering this. One way is, like, I think, the easiest way in the world, and I'll read you the Rishon who says it, and then we have Tosfos, who is like a real beautiful halachic perspective, but it's a chiddush. The Miuchas Laran had such an approach, what's called the Shita Laran, and he explains, why don't we care that it continues going down? And he says, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, not the Miuchas Laran. I'm sorry, the Miuchas Laran will come to later on. In the Ritva in Eruvin says Va'afal Pisha Achar Shtia Heim Nichnasim Begufo Shehu Bereshus Hayachid Mikomakom Hugo Asa Hanocha Ela Biblioso Shehu Omed Ba'Oso Reshus Shehem Omdim Umei Alehem Misgardim Uboin Legufo. What is the answer over here of the Tosfos in Eruvin? Why do we say Ein Lochush B'Mashishuv Nichnasim L'Toch Me'ev? What's the difference between swallowing and the fact that it's going to continue flowing down into my stomach? Why do we call the Hanacha the act of swallowing as opposed to the act of where it's going to end up? Well, in other words, I don't know if necessarily gravity, even if you're standing on your head.
Actually, he intended to drink it. Okay, what he intended to do is finish. Now that it goes down,
when we're going to define the hanacha as the result of his act, not as the result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's digestive system. Namely, that there is a maisa, and then there is me'elav. So the maisa that he's doing, that's the maisa hanacha. Then he's finished. Afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a system, whether he's standing up and it's gravity, or he's standing on his head, and we have muscles that are pushing it, that's what we call the involuntary system. That's something a person doesn't control. When a person is not in control, that's no longer his maisa. So as long as the person is in control, even when we smoke when you throw a ball, so even after you throw it, there's kocho. He's still involved. Over here, the moment that you swallow it, you're no longer involved. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over, and he moves this liquid to where he wants it to get. Down through the esophagus, into the stomach, into the intestines, into the blood system, and until it goes out as waste. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not over an Iser of Melech HaShabbos. In other words, the mice of the person is completed with the blia. That's the ritva. That's not tosfos. You'll see a tosfos in a minute. Yes?
That's secretion, though. I mean, there's no shadow of a doubt that's probably going to happen. And Hachal Shabbos, we say such a thing as...
You're correct. When we have a psik, but
in other words, the
psik ratio is a result of the maisa. It's a result of the maisa. Over here, this is the result. In other words, after I swallow something, it could very well, had I been dead, right? Had I swallowed something and then died. So it just would have sat there. That's all. It's not going to move anywhere. The muscles move it. It's an involuntary system. So, in other words, my act is completed with the act of swallowing. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over. In other words, maximum, you want to say that's grama, but that would not be a d'oraisa. Our question was, isn't there a malacha d'oraisa here, that you have akira in one rishus and anocha in the other rishus? And the answer is, it's not a malachas machsheves, according to the Ran. According to the Ritva, I'm sorry, the Ritva in Erevin, yes?
Nobody says that when you walk
Once you get into the body, it's part of the body. That's not the ritva. Now let's move over to Tosfos. What does Tosfos himself say? Tosfos asks the question. It says, Ukisavan kishuhu mahalech chayav. The kisivasan zohi hanachatan. Tosis appears to be comparing apples and oranges, but I want you to tell me what's the common denominator. We have a brisa later on that if a person takes ink, he's walking outside with ink, and he has a cloth. And as he's walking, he writes two letters with that ink on the cloth, and he continues walking. So we say he's going to be chayav even though he continues walking till the end of Shabbos. Why? Because we had a hanacha. He had an akira when he left his house with the ink. Where do we have a hanacha? On the paper. He's still walking? No, we say bliyasan zohi hanachasan. Right? What's over here the bliya? What's the connection? In other words, that Tosa said previously, that when you swallow something, b'liyaso haino hanachaso. Tosa says, Hu hadin, when you write something down, b'liyoso, zoi hanachaso. What's Tosa saying over here? When the ink becomes part of the paper, it no longer has a status of ink. It's already munach. It's, in other words, its separate status is already finished. It already now has the status of the paper that it's written on. Hu hadin, after you swallow water, what is the continuation of that water? It's no longer water. It's now part of your body. All of our bodies are made up of 70% water. Mashu kazeh. Isn't that true? I mean, our blood is like 90% water, and our body is like about 70% water. In other words, that's why it also says, Ein lochush b'mashishuv nichnasim l'toch meyav, because it's now part of the body. The moment you swallowed it, b'liyosan zoi hanachasan. It's not a question, are we dealing with a maisa or me'elav? That was the language of the Ritva. Here we're talking about, in other words, at what point is it still water, and when does it turn into, does it change its nature to become part of the body? So, b'liyosan zoi hanachasan. Swallowing has two different forms. One is swallowing, a physical swallowing. The other is writing on a cloth. Then the dio is nivla in the cloth. Blia is becoming part of a larger whole. So the water becomes part of a larger whole. The dio becomes part of a larger whole. That's the hanacha. The person continues walking. My nafgamina. The dio is munach. The dio is munach. The water continues in the person's body. My nafgamina. It's already munach. It's already turned into part of the human being. And as such, it's no longer a problem of malacha. So according to Tosfos, the reason that we have no problem over here of maleches hotzah on the water is because the akira and the hanacha both take place in the same rishus. The hanacha takes place in the throat when I'm boleya. And afterwards, according to the Ritva, it's simply me'elehen. According to Tosfos, it's no longer a chefza. It's no longer a chefza that I have to be concerned about. It's now balua. It's balua in the larger object. And Tosfos brings a very beautiful raya to his approach that the moment that you swallow something, that's the malacha. The Asi Shapir Ha, the Amrula, the Perak Amrula, we have a Mishnah in Krisus. Yesh ochel achila achas v'chayav lav da'ad chatos v'asham echad. That right when you add in an iser nevela and what other isurim were there in chaylev, and you add them all up, you get to and you're dealing with a person who took a neder, etc. You can get up to five chatos. Rav Meir says we can add another chatos if you do this on Shabbos. Right? Rav Meir Omer, af im hayesa Shabbos v'hotziyo b'piv, chayav. V'hashta hechi tani Rav Meir hotzah de l'machayev alacha tunot b'meyav, v'hade hane de machayev b'shas v'liya. I mean, l'chora, again, Rav Meir is a chiddush that he's bringing in from the outside world, hotzah. All the other isum are isuri achila. The different, you know, it's that we can have five different isuri achila simultaneously. So Rav Meir says that I can bring in an Easter of Melechah Shabbos as long as it's simultaneous. But how is it simultaneous? When you eat something, the Hanukkah is only when it hits your stomach, and the Easteri Achila are the moment of Bliya. So the answer is, Ela Hotzah Machayev Nami B'Shas Bliya. This is what Tosfos is telling us, that the Bliya is the Shas Chiyuv, Kepirashtis. V'Rashi Tiritz Binyan Acher B'Motzi Tfilin, Perek Beis De'eruvin, Pirashti. Okay. And then Tosfos moves over into how we paskin in the Mahokas Rav Meir and Rabban on when we are goes and when not goes here. But what is Rashi's Pshat? Tosfos just gives us a hint. Look in Eruvin. So if we look in Eruvin, let's look first in Rashi. We have Rashi in Eruvin. So if we look first in Rashi in Eruvin, we see that Badai Rashi learned differently than Tosfos, but what did he say? It's hard to know. Rashi in Eruvin and Daf Tzadi Tes over there on the beginning of the Gemara points out that v'horeko lemeimar d'shtias mayim tehavei hachnasa. Don't say that we have here a malacha d'oraisa when we drink, going from rishus to rishus. K'mashtin v'rok. We pointed out that when you exude a liquid, that's a din d'oraisa. So why, when you ingest a liquid, is that not an isur d'oraisa? D'lo dami. Dehasam ka'akar mirishus zo ve'ka'avid hanacha mirishus zo. Avol shose avid akira v'hanacha v'chada rishusa. So far, it's just like Tosfos. But he continues, Deha birishus shehu shote ba piv omeid. Ubepiv heinachin miyad. Rashi over here is dealing with a different aver of the guf than Tosos. Tosos, where is the hanacha? Bagorum, in your throat. That's the blia. According to Rashi, we're not concerned with the garon. The hanacha in Rashi is bepiv. What does that mean? The hanacha is bepiv. I want to drink. I put it into my mouth and then I swallow it. So according to the Ritva, l'chora, I'm still involved in the act. Even according to Tosfos, I need a bria. When it's in my mouth, it's not balua. When it's in my mouth, it's sitting in my mouth. It hasn't become part of me. This is not like writing on a cloth. When I swallow, that's briyasan zoi hanachasan. Rashi over here speaks about piv. So all the Rishonim interpret Rashi. I don't know, again, whether this is they had a different girsa in Rashi or this is their pshat in Rashi. They all say, piv have makom ptur. This is the Ritva by us, the Miyuchas Laran by us, Tosus in Erevin. Piv have makom ptur. Then what we have over here is a situation where the water, let's assume, is in Rishus Harabim. I want the water to end up in Rishus Hayachid in my stomach. But in the meantime, it's going through a makom ptur, which is piv. And this is why there's no chiyuv da'oraisa. This is why there is no chiyuv mi da'oraisa. This is, I am going from the, we had it in the Gemara, from the, from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid via the Stav, in other words, via... And this is the din of the askupa. This is the makom ptur that we're talking about. This is what takes it down, takes away the iser d'oraisa. The fact that the piv, it's in a makom ptur. It's not going directly. It's going via a makom ptur. But then the question is, if this is we're going via a makom ptur, so who needs then the problem of Shema Yotzi Hakos? This itself, l'chora, is drabana, right? This is what we saw in the Vav and Aleph. We have a din of makom ptur of an askupa, and the Gemara says that if I have over here a Rishus HaRabim, I can go from Rishus HaRabim to an askupa, and from askupa to Rishus HaRabim. This is mutter. Similarly, if over here I have a Rishus HaYochid, I can go from Rishus HaYochid to the askupa, and from the askupa to the Rishus HaYachid. However, for me to go from Rishus HaRabim to the askupa to Rishus HaYachid, this is a gzera ubilvad shelo yachlifu. I'm not allowed to go in this manner. Ubilvad shelo yachlifu. So, over here, in other words, in terms of our peh, why is the issue Shema Yotzi Hakos? Why do we distinguish between Rosh over Rubo and not Rosh over Rubo? In other words, the whole Mishnah in Erevin seems to ignore the din of Makom Ptur. Makom Ptur itself is Shema Yachlifu. So here everyone gives the same answer. Tosus in Erevin, the Rabbi Yuchas Laran, and the Ritva by us, is that where do we have a Gzera Shema Yachlifu? That we're afraid that if I'm going to play the role of a middleman, someone will say, who needs the middleman? I'll just carry right from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Then we have a gzera shema yachlifu. I'm not allowed to be a middleman because people will then say it's mutter even without the middleman. But if I always need the middleman, I can't go from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, then there'd be no gzera shema yachlifu. That's the concept of the peh. I can't in any way take the liquid and put it directly into my body without going through temporarily my mouth. So here we have a case of a makom ptur with no gzera. So why then is it aser? Shema Yotzi Hakos. And then if I have Rosh over Rubo, or I have a Kli according to the Ram, which is not Noe, then it's Mutter. This is the din over here, this is the explanation of the Mishnah according to the world of Rashi. The world of Rashi is the world over here of makom p'tur. Now we view a mouth as makom p'tur. Why is a mouth a makom p'tur? Is it so obvious that a person's mouth is a makom p'tur?
Size.
So that's the Miuchas Laran. Miuchas Laran says, because, I'll just read to you his language. He says, in other words, he asks, Yimtoma barosha v'lo rubo teipukle dikia iser Torah, the kamakar mirishus harabim shushosu minyech mirishus hayokid, the hainu b'mei'ayin, the cave and the nechle b'achnachas mayim b'mei'ayin, machshavto shavhile ka'arba al-arba, kazor pi'akelev, v'yeshlomar demikol makom b'hanochas mayim b'piv, lo nechale, v'lo achshave, u'piv havi makom p'tur. Namely, that we have over here a world of makom p'tur, and the reason it's makom p'tur is because it's less than dalad al dalad. We have this din of machshava meshavile makom, but that's only when you want it to remain there. So my me'ayim, I want it to remain. I don't want it to remain in my mouth. I want to drink it. I'm not machshiv my peh as a makom. So it remains a makom p'tur. It remains a makom which is less than dalad al dalad. I don't have over here any achshave, anything to take this. Like we say, yodo shalodam have kedalad al dalad. I'm machshiv my yad. I'm machshiv my yad because I plan to hold it. But here my peh is simply a middleman to get the water into my digestive system, into my stomach. So it remains a makom p'tur, less than dalad al dalad. That's what we have within the Miuchas Laran. But Tosfos and the Ritva, they say no. They say there's a different reason why is peh a makom p'tur. So according to the Miuchas Laran, peh is a makom p'tur because of the dimensions. It's pachos mi dalet al dalet ve'in achshav. They say there's a different reason that we learned all the way at the beginning of the perek. That normally we view a body as being one whole. Normally we speak about the fact that when the person is walking, we have akiras gufo, when he stops, we have hanochas gufo, it's like hanochas tefetz, etc. But when we have a body where you have a limb which is in one rishus, and the rest of the body is in another rishus, then we view the limb as having independence. So when the person leans over and his mouth is in one rishus and the rest of his body is in another rishus, that's when the peh is a makom p'tur. Namely, had the person been all in one rishus, we're not going to say that the peh is less than dalet al dalet v'chule. The peh and the body are one and the same. Maybe in a dog, we can view it as being, peh hakel can be different, but a human being, we view as one organic whole. That's what Rev Meir is pointing out, that when you drink something, you can be chayav achatas. Why are you chayav achatas when you drink? Because your body and your mouth are in the same rishus. So when you drink, it's not that achshave, not that I'm machshiv my mouth, but rather it's all one process. It's all one dalet al dalet. But if my body is in one rishus and my head is sticking over in the other rishus, then I view my head as being separate, and then then my head is a makom p'tur. That's the way that Tosfos and the Ritva by us, they say because ha'peh birishus echad v'haguf birishus acher. That whenever we have such a situation of where the body is in one rishus and the limb, in this situation the peh, is another rishus, then we view it as being independent. But now we have a problem. Look back, you will have Gemara's Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Daf Gimel Amud Beis, we have a situation where a person is in rishus hayachid and he has A book. He has a book in his hand. And he sticks his hand out into Rishus HaRabim. Okay? And now, what's the Gemara's question is, are we going to be kones him for having done that, that he has to keep his hand this way all of Shabbos? So Gemara says, be kones him, if he drops it, he's going to be chayav achatos. So you're going to be kones him and cause him to be chayav achatos. Then the Gemara brings in the whole din of radia, v'chulei, v'chulei. Just a minute. Where is his body? In one rishus. Where is his hand? In another rishus. So why is he, what if he drops, he's going to be chayav achatos? What's the hand? It's a makom ptur. His hand is in a separate rishus. It's no dalet al dalet. His hand is only considered to be chashav when it's in the same rishus. In another rishus, we just said that why is the mouth considered makom ptur? Right? So the mouth makom ptur because it's in one rishus and the body in another rishus. Here don't we have that same situation and we call it a chayav achatos?
Started inside.
So we have to distinguish somehow between this case. We have to distinguish. We have over here two cases. We have one case where you have a peh birishus aleph vahaguf birishus bet. Then we say that this aver, this peh, is a makom ptur. And then we have a case where we have the yad birishus aleph, and we have the guf birishus bet. Then we say that this aver, namely the yad, is considered to be chelok mehaguf, and you're going to be chayav chatos. And here you're going to be here. This is mutter. I mean, you're going to be chayav chatos or mutter here. Here chayav chatos, and here is mutter. How do we distinguish between these two situations? So here we have a machlokes between Tosvos and the Ritva Bayas. I'll read you the language of Tosvos in Erevin, and you tell me what Tosvos means. Tosus asked the question, Kashya, Avon Perakama de Shabbos Kashya, de Ka Amrinan Hossam, Adarabi Mishachashecha, de E Shadile, if a person drops it, once it's in his hand, and he had put it out his hand, you know, on Shabbos itself, Asili de Chiyuv Chatos, and therefore Lo Kansinan, Vahashta Hechi Asili de Chiyuv Chatos, according to Rashi, Hoil, Vinacho Biyodo, Humakom Ptur. Aren't we working off an assumption the moment that you take a part of your body and separate it to the other rishus, it has its own status, and if it's less than dalet al dalet, it's a makom ptur. V'yeshlamar delo chashiv hanocha b'makom ptur, ela b'davar shehu notel mimekomo. Aval hasam shehakli noch me'elav, lo chashiv hanocha b'makom ptur. Again, I'll read. V'yeshlamar delo chashiv hanocha b'makom ptur, Ela b'davar shehu notel mimekomo, like water that you take into your mouth from Rishus HaRabim. Aval hasam shakli noch me'elav. There, as Yoni pointed out, the book was in his hand from before. Lo chashiv hanocha b'makom ptur. What distinguishes these two cases? In one case, the water enters my mouth on Shabbos. In the other case, the book was in my hand already from before Shabbos. I just stick out my hand on Shabbos. Both of these, lechora, are acts of hanacha. The water is now munach in my mouth, and the book is now munach in my hand. Why do I consider one of them to be a hanacha b'mokom ptur? I view the mouth as being independent. And as opposed to the arm, I view as being gorir basar haguf, I view as still being part of the body in terms of the object. Can you take Tosfos? Tosfos distinguishes, but can you conceptualize the distinction? What's the difference between these two situations? Yoni, you want to explain?
You only consider the chiv as being munach in the makom ptur when it was placed there and it was the makom torah, but if, by the case of the yad, it started in the guf and it was muna fully in the sarabim, and your body isn't a makom, your body is that which is doing the maisa, and therefore it wasn't, it was never muna, there was never hanacha in the makom torah, only by the mayim, which had a halos shein makom torah, was there a hanacha in the makom torah, as opposed to the chevetz in the yad, there's no halos shein makom torah to begin with.
Okay, so if I could just take what Yoni is saying and just try and sharpen it, if possible, if it's okay. When we speak about the concept of Akira and Ahanocha on Shabbos, what are we relating to? What has to be Ne'akar and what has to be Munach? Are we concerned with the object or with the body? Only the object, right? The whole din of Hotzah is taking an object from Rishus A to Rishus B. Namely, the Hanocha basically is a phrase that relates to an object. But we have a din, that we have a shaila. What about Hanochas Gufo? Is Hanochas Gufo kid Hanochas HaChefetz or not? Do we consider that if I'm carrying something and I stop, is it as though the object is now Munach? Do we view Hanochas Gufo ki Hanochas HaChefetz? So we say that we have a din that Hanochas Gufo is ki Hanochas HaChefetz, but with one condition, says Tosfos. That's if the entire guf is munach. But let's say we only have one aver which is munach. Not the whole guf. We have one aver which is munach. The whole body is in one rishus, and one aver is in another rishus. Hanochas gufo, kahanochas hachefetz, avo lo, hanochas ha'aver. That would not be viewed. So in the case of drinking, I have hanochas chefetz. I have water, that's a chefetz, which is munach in my mouth. Hanochas chefetz is munach. That's the din of hanocha. What is my mouth? A makom ptur. In the case of the book, in other words, the hanocha is that of my arm. My arm is munach, but my body is in rishus hayochid. My arm is in rishus harabim. That's not called the hanocha. If I put my entire body to Rishus HaRabim and I stop, that's a hanocha. Hanochas gufo, kanochas chefetz. But if I remain in Rishus HaYochid and simply stick out my arm, so who says the hanochas aver is a hanocha? I'm missing over here the hanocha. Forget about whether my hand is a makom ptur or not. I don't have a hanocha. In other words, I'm only going to view this hanacha as me having a certain degree of independence. If I have the hanacha, then I can ask where it's munach. So when I have a hanacha of water in my mouth, I ask, where is it munach? It's munach in a makom ptur. However, when I take an object and I'm oker it from one rishus and I put it in the other rishus, is it munach now? No, my body didn't move and stop. If I were to put it down, that would be munach. Then the chefetz is munach. But as long as I'm holding it, the question is my arm considered to be an instrument of hanacha? The answer is no. My arm is only instrument of hanacha if it's part of my body. Then hanachas gufo, kanachas chefetz. But if my arm isn't a part of my body is in one rishus, so it's still considered to be with my body. If it's still in my body, it's still in the same rishus. And then if I drop it and it falls down, then I'm chayav achatos, because my arm is still part of my body, which is in Rishus HaYochid. Now it's not munach. When I drop it, then it'll be munach. Nafkamina, according to Tosfos, if I stick out my head, I'm standing in Rishus HaYochid, I stick out my head out the window, and I spit saliva, and it lands in Rishus HaRabim. Am I going to be over an Isur Shabbos d'Oraisa?
No.
Again, I fill my mouth with saliva, right? And then I stick my head out the window and I spit. And it falls to the ground. Where is the Akira coming from? From my mouth. Is my mouth independent? My body is in one rishus. My mouth is in another rishus. Do I have over here, where is the akira coming from? from my body, right? In other words, that here we're dealing with the fact that the object is munach in my body. I stick out my head and I spit it. So I'm going. So this is considered to be moving the saliva from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. That's a malacha daraisa. If I wasn't aware that it was asar, I'd be chayev a korban chatos. That's according to Tosas. Now, it's not a question of distinguishing between the mouth and the body, between the mouth and the arm. It's a question: are we talking about the chayfets, or are we talking about the aver? When we're talking about the chayfets, like putting water into a mouth, then I can view that as a mokom ptur. But if I'm not putting something into my mouth, I have me'elav. I have a book in my hand. I have saliva in my mouth. So the same way that when I have a book in my hand and I put out my hand into Rishus HaRabim and I drop it, that would be a malacha doraisa. So if I have saliva in my mouth and I stick out my mouth and I spit, that would be a doraisa. Because the mouth and the arm are one and the same. The only question is, are we dealing with the hanochas haguf or hanochas hachefetz? That's the difference. So we can have an ukimta where my mouth will serve as my arm. It's one and the same because the object is already there. And now now it's considered as though I'm okir it from Rishus to Rishus. The Ritva says no. The Ritva by us gives a different answer with a different nafkamina. The Ritva says that asks the same question from the Gemara and Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and he brings first Tosas's Teiris and calls it Dochak, and then he says Avah Hanochon. The yado kevon de ein darko ga amot pshuta lo chashiva hanocha klal ugolam chashvinan lekiru hu gorer barsa gufo lo havi hanocha b'makom ptur kevon shaperos biyado karishona me'ato yehe mutar loruk v'rishus harabim shami v'rishus hayachid v'roshu l'malam me'asara tfachim afal pikein v'chulei v'chulei. Namely, according to the Ritzvah, there's a difference between a body, between a hand and a mouth. In a mouth, that's a classic makom hanacha, right? I can put liquids in my mouth and just, you know, gargle them around, keep them in my mouth as long as I want, the makom hanacha. But that I should keep my hand outstretched with a book in it, that's not a normal makom hanacha. There's no independence over here of my arm. My arm is basar gufo. And therefore, if I drop it, it's I'm dropping it from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Namely, as opposed to Tosos, who distinguished between the chayfetz and the guf, but the mouth and the arm are one and the same. The only question is, are we talking about a hanacha of the chayfetz or hanacha of the guf? Hanacha of the aver, according to the Ritva, we're distinguishing between a peh, which is considered to be a makom hanacha, and an outstretched arm, which is not considered to be a makom hanacha. It's considered only to be something as a temporary move. Not I should stick my arm out and call that a makom hanacha. So according to the Ritva, if I were to stick out my head and then to spit the saliva, my head, my mouth is a makom ptur. It's in one rishus. My body is in the other rishus. That's considered to be a makom ptur. Might not even if the saliva was there before or afterwards. We're not distinguishing between the chayfetz and the aver. We're distinguishing between the mouth and the arm. The mouth is considered to be a makom hanacha. So when I stick out my head, it's now munach in a head. The head is a makom ptur. When I spit, it's going from makom ptur to the rishus harav. That's mutter. Namely, according to Tosos, I'd have a chiyuv de oraisa in the situation where. Here's Rishus HaYochid, here's Rishus HaRabim. If I have this situation where I'm standing in Rishus HaYochid and I stick out my head into Rishus HaRabim and I spit, according to Toso, since the saliva was in my mouth already when I was in Rishus HaYochid, my mouth is an extension of Rishus HaYochid, and therefore this is a Chiyuv D'oraisa. According to the Ritva, the moment I stick out my head, my mouth is now a makom ptur. This is a heter. It's mutter for me to spit from makom ptur into a rishus harabim. Namely, the Tosas's conclusion is rok rishus harabim chayo. The Ritva's conclusion is rok rishus harabim mutter.
According to Tosas, if he had the saliva after he put his mouth out,
that would be something else, right? But if he filled his mouth with saliva in rishus hayochid, then put it out. According to Tosfos, that's the same thing as taking the book and putting out your hand. There's no difference in putting out your hand and putting out your head. According to Ritva, no, a hand is not considered to be a makom hanacha. This is, again, it's sort of counterintuitive, because the whole time we've been speaking, the whole perek, as a yad, is makom dalet adalet, it's machshevelei, that's where people carry things, etc., etc. The Ritva is saying, that's when you're dealing with a hand in a normal situation, when you're dealing with the hand as part of the body, but that the hand, outstretched hand should just remain a makom hanacha, ma pitom, as opposed to the mouth, which is a makom hanacha, but it's a makom ptur. So that's the machlokes over here. Within the Shita of Rashi, how to understand what Rashi would do with the Gemara and the Gimel Medbiris. According to Tosfos, we distinguish between Hanachas Chepetz and Hanachas Ha'ever. That's the difference between Yad, Hanachas Ha'ever, and the Peh is the case of Hanachas Ha'chepetz. But if we'll turn the Peh into the Yad, then we would have the same, this, we would have that's the same issue of an Iser Doraisa. And according to the Ritva, we distinguish between a peh, which is makom hanacha, and an outstretched hand, which is not makom hanacha. Okay, our regalachas, this is what we have over here within this mini sugya of the Mishnah of Omeid Birishus Hayochid Vishosa Birishus Sarab. Just moving over to the top of the Yud Aleph Medeis V'chein Begat. The Gemara said that who had it in terms of drinking in the Gat. So yes, what's over here the Chiddush? If we're dealing with the Carmelis, if this Gat is the Carmelis, what is the status be'emet of a Carmelis of standing in a Rishus Hayochid and drinking in a Carmelis, or standing in Rishus Harabim and drinking in a Carmelis, or vice versa? So we saw already that Rava calls this a gzeira l'gzeira, and Abaye uses the phrase that this is he, that this is the exact same thing. And we saw that Tosfos pointed out that this issue as to whether we have gzeira l'gzeira or he is only by hotza'ah. Either we saw that it's a din of a malacha grua, so now we generally have a rule and goes from gzeira l'gzeira. Why make an exception in the world of hotza'ah? Either because hotza'ah is a malacha grua, that's what Tosfos says, or because Hotzo is Shkiach, and so there's more of a reason to Aser, that we saw in Tosfos HaRosh, or we saw according to the Rash, Bakula Chad HaGzeirahi, this we already learned this. Or, and this is why we learned this, we saw the Ramban, that the Ramban wanted to say that a Carmelis is an extension of Rishus HaRabim, and we have over here a Malacha. This is a Malacha Midrabanan. We use Rav Shechter's terminology of distinguishing between a Gzeira and a malacha drabana, that in terms of writing with your left hand, that's a good example. In terms of climbing a tree, that's a gzeira shema yiktzor. That's a gzeira shema. In terms of a malacha she'im sricha legufa, that would be a malacha drabana. We expand the definition of the malacha. Writing with my left hand could be a malacha drabanan. And so, my nafgamina, ein gozen gzeira l'gzeira. If we're dealing with a gzeira, we don't build on top of another gzeira. But if we're talking about a malacha drabanan, yitachain, that then that's not called gzeira l'gzeira. We'll expand the malacha drabanan. So we have a question over here is, how do we view carrying in a carmelis? Is carrying in a carmelis a gzeira shema yitaltel birishus hayachid? Rishus Harabim, I'm sorry. Or do we say, no, we expand the definition of Rishus Harabim even to this area which lacks the classic Rabim, the Yam, the Bika, etc. That would be the Machlokes between Abaye and Rabba. That's the way the Rabban wants to understand. And then we ourselves pointed out that Yitachem, that Elu Ve'elu, that we saw all sorts of Carmelis, different situations of Carmelis. We have a Carmelis which is an extension of Rishus Hayachid, a Carmelis which is an extension of Rishus HaRabim, and we can have a Carmelis which is a Gzeira Otu, that we can have different types, and we saw within the Rambam different types of Carmelis. Okay, we'll stop over here. Where we're going to move to is the world of V'chein Ligat, in terms of the nature of mice, moving over to the world of Ma'aser, between Achilas Keva, Achilas Harai, and then deal with the world of Yisurim and Drabanan. if we can get up on Wednesday up to the Gemara of Tefillin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Bentayim, learn the Gemara with Rashi and Tosfos, pretty much Hafochba. In other words, pretty much the Rashi and Tosfos raise the Iker issues. We'll see over here towards the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we have the concept of Kol Atzulei Tinuf Lo Kachashiv, in terms of what wearing a rain cover on one's hat, where the purpose of the rain cover is not to protect your head, not that, you know, you're going to catch a cold if your hat gets wet, but rather you want to protect your hat. In other words, is that considered to be a form of levisha, or is that considered to be a form of carrying? It's a well-known machlokes achronim. So that's totally in this Gemara of Kol La'atzulei. Okay, so get up to HaRav Yehuda, HaRabbi Shimon. I think we'll do that. If we have chance, we'll continue to the next Gemara up, you know, just up to the two dots, up to the Hilchos HaRav Sal HaShabbos, moving into the world of Tefillin. But Tefillin is sort of its own issue. How does the world of Tefillin relate to the world of Yetzei Chayat? Okay, so that's the Neder on Yom Rivi. So again, for those who came a bit late, next Sunday, there won't be Shir, it should be Monday, and on Wednesday we'll decide, you know, at what point on Monday. Wednesday's Rosh Chodesh, so we'll begin 9:30.
So next Sunday is no Shir?
Next Sunday there won't be Shir, but there'll be Shir on Monday, if it's okay. But on Wednesday we'll decide whether the Shir will be beginning of a Seder on Monday or the end of Seder on Monday. Wednesday, if we can begin 9:30, that should be enough time. Is that okay? Okay, that's it.